let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Margaret Donnelly, Emeritus Attorney at Law of Texas, certified in immigration and nationality law, proposes in her fifth book, Trump, Tamales, and the American Family, that it's time to smash our culture of fear and follow the example of our World War II greatest generation who built economies exporting peace and prosperity throughout the world. Her thought-provoking book offers a balanced view of the real reasons why we have a broken immigration system, as she leads readers on a global tour through heartwarming and heartbreaking stories that explain why we are where we are today with immigration policy. Margaret has a long-standing passion for Latin American culture and the challenges of immigration law. Born in Venezuela, she moved to the U.S. at age 15, later earned her Doctor of Jurisprudence and Bachelor of Arts in Latin Studies from the University of Texas at Austin. In each of her five books, she has pursued many historical and humanitarian objectives. Her books have won numerous prestigious awards and have been nominated for the Nobel Prize in Literature several times. Trump, Tamales, and the American Family has been praised for addressing immigration challenges with compassion and vision. Winner of the 2025 Pacific Book Award for Best Nonfiction in the Best Current Events and Politics category. An acclaimed author, humanitarian, and immigration advocate, Margaret Donnelly, our guest on This Week in America. Margaret, welcome to the program. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be with you, to share this with you.
Yeah, this is really an important topic. You have a unique perspective. We get confused by all we hear about immigration. Most of it is negative. I'm looking forward to our conversation today. What was the inspiration? Why did you decide to write this book, Trump, Tamales, and the American Family?
Well, I wrote it in 2020, and given my experience with immigration and many presidents, when Donald J. Trump entered office for the first time and started talking about immigration and massive deportations, I decided to write him an open letter, which turned into this book. It's not anti-Trump at all. I wanted to impact policy. That was the main purpose and remains that purpose. And I just hope that many people in the White House, especially his advisors, have read it.
Well, we hope they have, because it's a common sense approach. It's not the saber rattling that we hear usually coming from Washington. This is a compassionate approach. It's personal for you as well, isn't it? It's your reflection. You talk in the beginning chapter about your father, Bill Donnelly, and what he went through and the changes and what an outstanding man he was and his contribution to the general, to the greatest generation ever. Talk about your dad for a second here. He really was remarkable and made an impact on you, didn't he?
Well, he was a remarkable person. He fought in the Pacific in the Army. When he got out, he got a job with an oil company and went to Venezuela and became a part of the building of the oil and gas industry in Venezuela. He spent 25 years there. And as we know, Venezuela actually became an OPEC member and did very well thanks to the participation of patriots like my dad.
Yeah, and a lot of Venezuelan news in the in nightly news here recently, and we'll talk about that as we go through the program. You bring a broad historical framework to make your point. Why is that important? Because you really go back in time and you talk about the similarities we have, people in North and South America. Historical perspective is very important in this issue, isn't it?
Well, I draw inspiration from history, and it was important to me to point out the post-World War II Marshall Plan and the reconstruction, not only of Japan, but also Germany, who were our enemies during World War II. I wanted to draw from that history as evidence of the power of peace and economic collaboration. I tried to encourage readers to envision a transformed U.S.-Mexico border and a revitalized relationship with Central and South America based on a mutual prosperity and cooperation and history.
That's such a logical.
That's basically it.
Well, yes, and it's a logical approach. And when you read it, it's like, you know, this really is important. I hope that the copies you sent to President Trump and the people in Washington, they're reading and taking a very serious look at your approach to this. The book, by the way, is Trump Tamales and the American Family. It's available wherever books are sold. The author is our guest, Margaret Donnelly. That's D-O-N-N-E-L-L-Y. Her website is margaretadonnelly.com. We've got links for that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. All of her books are available there, including Trump Tamales and the American Family. What kind of future do you see in terms of immigration? You said you wrote this in 2020. We're in 2025. It's still at the top of the news. It still seems to be a major focus of the Trump administration. What do you see in terms of immigration now?
Well, in 2020, I saw this coming. I saw this coming, and I went, oh, no, here we go.
Yes.
And what I want to do with this book is reframe contentious issues into opportunities for growth, Rick. I want to inspire readers to envision a better and more inclusive future. When I say that, I don't mean just the United States of America. I mean the continent of America, because we're really impacted by illegal immigration. Every 20 years, we get invaded by thousands of undocumented aliens, most of them from Central and South America. So it was important to me to, you know, reframe issues that have never been clearly examined.
And you do so well. You present the case in your book, Trump Tamales and the American Family. Some people are probably going, okay, I get Trump, I get the American Family. What do tamales have to do with immigration? And when you read the story of tamales, this really goes back thousands of years, doesn't it?
Well, I used it because it's a symbol of our interaction as a continent. Tamales have been a central food throughout the Americas. It's part of our shared cultural heritage, and it's a centerpiece. And so what I wanted to do was actually extend a culinary olive branch to President Trump and urging him to embrace a more unifying agenda beyond divisive walls. That's really what I want to do. Through this analogy, I propose replacing the blame game with solutions that emphasize peace, shared resources, and a prosperous future for the Americas, from Alaska all the way down to Patagonia.
There's this culture of fear. You talk about the culture of fear. We hear it mentioned all the time.
Goodness, yes.
How does that impact our lives and our policies? How does that taint the quality of life for all of us?
Well, it kicks in once in a while. We in our history have experienced that. We experienced it with the Irish. My dad was of Irish descent, and he had stories about how the Irish were always blocked out of the mainstream up north where he was born and grew up. And as I say in my book, fear eats logic for breakfast. You know, when we're afraid, it's easy to be manipulated into believing really strange things.
Yes.
You know, and we see support for this claim when we consider the fact that many of us fear that immigrants and asylum seekers are out to hurt us. And we convince ourselves that they are terrorists who must be physically blocked from our territory, which is happening right now, that they're gang members, they're rapists, that they're monsters in our closets and the crocodiles under our bed. So it's you know, it's a recurring theme in our history with immigrants. We also saw it with the Jews before World War II. We've seen it with the Mexicans, with the Bracero program, on and on and on and on. And, you know, I decided to make a proposal and talk about something more positive than just, you know, divisive walls, fear, you know, raids. And we're seeing the raids today, which are very, very dangerous because they're really destroying our economy. That's my bottom line.
Well, it appears so, as you understand what's going on. You deal immigration law. You've dealt with immigrants for years. Talk about the mood of the immigration people now, the people that have come into the country illegally, but coming for a better life. I would think their lives, now, particularly now, are lived in fear.
Absolutely, Rick. They are really traumatized. They live in fear. And it's pretty scary, too, because right now when we go to immigration court, we're finding ourselves with ICE agents waiting in the hallways. Sometimes they arrest someone before his hearing or her hearing or after the hearing. A few days ago, a political figure, I don't remember what state it was arrested when he tried to protect, I don't know if it was a friend or a client, but he was actually arrested without a warrant for trying to protect, you know, this person.
Yes.
So it's pretty scary. I mean, not only are illegals or undocumented people scared, lawyers are scared because, you know, they're coming after us too.
Have you ever seen it this aggressive before, this enforcement?
No, I have not. In my more than 30 years of practice, I have never seen this kind of attack, especially on the legal system. I say that right now we have a war between the executive branch and the judicial branch of the United States, simply because the current administration is not really following due process. And it's very worrisome. I am very, very worried about it.
Well, as you read the headlines, you are concerned about that as a citizen when you find out that what normally is the process, what legally is the process, is being bypassed now, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight with that. We've got positive things to talk about with immigration from the book Trump Tamales and the American Family. Margaret Donnelly, our guest on the program. She's an acclaimed author, humanitarian, immigration advocate. We talked about the greatest generation. You talk about it in the book, the World War II greatest generation. We hear all that time. We hold that up as, boy, this was when the country was great. These are the best of times. Why is it so important to the future, and why are we not following what they did in the greatest generation?
Well, the greatest generation was inspired by General George Marshall. And he had the heart to transform the conversation that we had from exporting war or resistance to exporting economic assistance. He was instrumental in the enactment of the European Recovery Program, known as ERP, in 1948. So what people don't know is that for the next 4 years, the U.S. exported $12 billion, removed trade barriers, modernized civil and industrial infrastructures with the objective of encouraging the economic revival of the United Kingdom, France, with Germany, even Japan. The Soviet Union refused to share in these benefits or in these efforts. But, you know, it was instrumental, as we can see, because Japan and Germany are our strongest allies today. So I hope that the United States takes that stand. Instead of building walls, working, they need to work. We need to work with the countries in Central and South America and do the same thing. Export know-how, rebuild infrastructures in order to impact the thousands of people that very often just decide to leave their homeland and come to the United States.
In dealing with immigrants coming here trying to find a better life, if they had a better life back home, would they still want to come to the United States, or would they be satisfied?
No.
Because they would be able to take care of themselves, make a living, have a quality family life in the country where they live.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we can see it. Venezuela is a good example of that. I mean, I would say in the last 5-6 years, 5 million Venezuelans have left Venezuela. And, of course, having family down there, I know what they're putting up with. I mean, it's not a democracy. Due process is not followed. It's really a dictatorship, and it's controlled by Cuba. And so seeing that, you know, I think that we need to not prolong the situation, but help stop it through, you know, cooperation.
Yes.
Through peaceful means.
You share your story, your personal integration story. Talk about that. You were 15 when you came to the United States. A little bit of your background, your family's background, and why this topic is so important to you. In fact, you've devoted your life to it, working in immigration law. What about your history? What shaped you as a young person coming to the United States?
Well, it's very evident. If you know my history, I think it's glaring. How my personal history impacted my professional history. I am the daughter of, as you know, of an American citizen who fought in World War II, went to Venezuela, married a Venezuelan. So my mom was Venezuelan. We stayed there until the situation in Venezuela got pretty dangerous because there was a civil war. So my dad just said, okay, let's go to the United States. And I came here. Now, it's funny because when my father lived in Venezuela, he was an alien. And when my mother moved to the United States, she was an alien. So, I mean, I lived it. I lived the history of my clients. And all I can say, Rick, is this is a great, great country. When I arrived here in the early, almost mid-1960s, we were in the middle, if you remember, in the middle of riots, marches.
Yes.
With people who were against the Vietnam War. And I went to UT, University of Texas in Austin, and I vividly remember all the marches, all the time, the turmoil by the students against the Vietnam War. How I decided to get into immigration, it was quite by accident. I went to law school. I wasn't thinking about immigration. My husband, after he became a prosecutor here in Dallas, his fellow prosecutors started sending me clients, and I decided to my house. Okay, I was unemployed. I was raising our son, but I had an extra office, and I just made an extra bedroom, and I made it into an office, and I just started getting more and more and more immigrants. And so because of the volume and the vulnerability of my home, I got a job with an immigration lawyer here in Dallas who took me in, trained me, and that's how I became an immigration attorney.
It's an amazing story. And with as many years, decades, as you've been involved in this, you've seen everything. Are you hopeful now that, well, I don't say this after you read the paper, you would not be, but are you hopeful that people will read your book, they will understand what you're talking about? There will be a talk, a legislation possibly, to make life better for undocumented persons who are left behind, make the whole situation better. Are you optimistic for the future?
Well, I hope so. I pray a lot about it. I do. What I give my clients is hope. And I always tell them that these moments are short-lived. I experienced Ronald Reagan when he came in in 1980, and he talked the same talk that Trump is talking. And when he realized 3 years into his presidency that he couldn't deport 6.6 million people, he came up with the amnesty. He came up with the legalization program. So having seen this, I'm optimistic. I hope so. I hope that there will be a turning point in the Trump administration where they will figure things out, that these tactics that they're carrying out, they're not really positive. They're not positive. They're hurting industries like agriculture, construction, the restaurant business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Workers who are legal don't want to go to work. I was talking to a restaurant owner. He has three restaurants, and his business has gone 40% downward.
Amazing.
Just this year, simply because of the raids.
We're probably pretty close to the same age when you mentioned back in the 60s and the marches and the parades and the demonstrations, all of that. We've seen a whole lot of positive change in our lifetime. And I look now and you think, are we going backwards? All this that we fought for, that we thought we achieved, suddenly appears to be chipping away. Do you see it that way, or do you have a more optimistic outlook than I do?
Well, I understand why we have this situation, and it's come back with a vengeance. I mean, I have lived through periods with other administrations where raids were carried out. For instance, the immigration service showing up at schools, showing up at hospitals,
yes,
picking up people, waiting at the entrance. I mean, we've lived through the same, you know, I would say fear disease, because it's really a disease. But I am hopeful, because I understand the world, Rick. The world has changed. We are more interconnected. I mean, we have the internet, and we have social media. We have better access to other countries. And so being that way, the people in let's say Central and South America, they're more aware of what's available in the United States.
Yes.
And they compare, you see? So that has an impact on their hopes and why they choose to leave their homeland instead of staying there. They don't stay there because really Latin America is advanced, but not enough. You know, we just don't have the infrastructure that is needed to create jobs, for instance, to train, to educate people. And I think that we can play a vital role in doing that.
Sort of a Marshall Plan all over again, that we can go in and help
Correct.
These people. People would say, that's a lot of money to send down there. Would it be offset by not spending as much money chasing people around here and meeting quotas for people they need to arrest and deport?
Absolutely. I do not see that this is economically healthy for the country. The situation right now with the undocumented, you know, the administration needs to figure out a plan that will work. Because I don't see us, you know, deporting, getting rid of 12 to 14 million people. I don't see that.
That is a very large number. You have an approach with compassion, with vision, with common sense, by using what we have in common to our benefit and to assist these people as we have done in the past. An excellent book, Trump, Tamales, and the American Family by Margaret Donnelly. If you're Googling that, that's Donnelly. That's important because her website is margaretadonnelly.com. You can link onto that directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book is available wherever books are sold. I'd like to thank EC Publishing LLC for arranging our conversation today. Yeah, EC Publishing, bringing your vision to life with expert editing, design, and marketing tools tailored to your publishing success, ecpublishingllc.com. Margaret, in closing, what would you hope people take away in reading your book? What do you hope the response will be for the reader and what they can do to implement some of the ideas that you have in the book?
I think communication is important, Rick. If my book, as you know, is in Amazon, and if you go to the reviews, there are reviews that are very, very helpful in understanding what people get out of this book. I've been surprised, and so I just hope that communication and information will open the door for us to have an impact in our community, both socially and politically, to make changes. I really believe in the American people. We're proactive, and we've been very, very successful for 250 years in turning immigrants into wonderful citizens of the world.
And it's all laid out so well in Margaret's book, Trump, Tamales, and the American Family. The book was awarded the 2025 Pacific Book Award for the Best Nonfiction in the Best Current Events and Politics category. You'll see why when you read the book. It's a very easy read. It lays all of this out, the history, the commonality we have with people of the Americas. It's a book so well done. Margaret, the time has gone by too quickly. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much, Rick. It's been a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure to share your message with the audience today. Margaret Donnelly, the book is Trump, Tamales, and the American Family. The book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. And the link, as I mentioned, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we continue on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.